been homeless, but we've actually had many homeless people living with us because we do feel like this is an issue within the community and that this is a community process, that this should be something that's fixed with members of the community and that it should be addressed and dealt with. And my question, I have a couple questions, and my question is, there's a lot of talk about day centers and benches and public restrooms and places that will be provided to help solve this issue, and I'm wondering, where are those buildings, like those day centers that there's a lot of talk about? I hear a lot of talk, but I'm wondering where those centers actually are and where they will be located and when they will be coming up. And is this specifically to target homelessness, to ticket people that are sitting on the streets, or would this be an issue if me and my family were shopping and we decided to sit down one day, and would we be ticketed? Or is this specifically just targeting homelessness and saying, we don't want you to sit here because you're a minority or something? I don't see where that comes into play. Who decides who gets ticketed and who doesn't?
Good issues. We'll make sure we put in the review. Did you have anything else to add?
No, not really.
They're good questions, and by September, I hope a lot more people will know the answers to those questions.
Thank you.
And it's a good point about...
Thanks, Ms. Newman.
Sitting at the park bench. Today.
So we can't... You can clap, but we can't do that kind of cheering here. We got to give people the respect of... They signed up to testify. We need to hear from them. So go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say what Patrick... Really quick, I got from Patrick's point was that the businesses and everyone tends to associate that kind of activity with homeless people and profile, and that's what's happening with the police and the private. So that's what I got from Patrick's point. My name is Crystal Ilinski, and I'm glad to be here again. I think it's synchronicity that brought me here on this day because I asked to be put on the schedule, and that was before... Back at New Year's resolution, I said, I'm going to go to the city hall every week. And when I became homeless, that became very difficult because all the services on Wednesdays are the best. But then I found Janka Soderberg at KBOO, and now I'm recording. So I hope it's not a conflict of interest. But I hope from speaking earlier that you got the point that homelessness is a full-time job. And I just want to give a whoop whoop to everyone here to come here. So difficult. Thank you very much. Yeah. So, and I thank you, Amanda Fritz. I feel that you understand. You've definitely got it. I just want to say that extending this is ridiculous. It's laughable. All of what Stoop was talking about, and I'll read more about it, these ideas to implement them and to collect the data, we can totally do that without the sit-lie ordinance in place. And we all know, I know you know, that it's been deemed unconstitutional by a local court. If you look at the numbers of the arrest regarding something related to that, and if you look at the people and their experiences. And when I've been stopped by the police and the private security, I said I have to have my tent here because I have to wait all night to be the first person in line in the morning. And then they tried to cite me because someone next to me had an open beer can. Another time I was just sort of being harassed I got kicked out of one of the shelters for listening to my radio. And when I was outside, again, I was harassed by the private cops. It's just, and it's because I'm homeless. So I just want to say that last year was when we should have got rid of this. When we were all outside protesting, back then I was a supporter with the United Poor People. And here's a visual for you. I'm going back home when I was a happy resident of the Buckman community. And I'm on the bus, and there are two tourists. And I had to explain to them why there were so many tents and porta potties everywhere. And the irony that it was the Rose, whatever it's called, Rose Parade, and those were Greshamites. And, yet if you're homeless, you're not allowed to do that. But they're fine. They can have their garbage everywhere. They just don't want to pay a $100 fine for using duct tape. I mean, that's the ultimate in hypocrisy. So, again, it's laughable, and the PBA and their sidekick, the new Central, East Side Industrial Council, just hiring the rent-a-cops to sweep people up. Here's a suggestion. Why don't you tell the Greshamites, when they do this year, to have a one-month mandatory service helping homeless agencies?
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Dan?
Good morning, City Council members. I'm Dan Handelman. I'm with Portland Cop Watch. And Portland Cop Watch has a simple message for you about the sit-lie ordinance. Your time is up. The Safe Oversight Committee put out their report in November, which was 5 months ago, and you're asking for 5 more months to study the issue. This is an outrage as you sit comfortably on your padded swivel seats and others are being moved along due to this law. It's not surprising that the SAFE report was never presented publicly to council and, to our knowledge, was never publicly released until recently. The report clearly shows that the sit-lie ordinance is discriminatory. The drug-free zones, which were similarly rolled over again and again by council, saying they wanted more time to study the issue, discriminated against a portion of the population. Over 50% of the people excluded from drug-free zones were African-American in a city that is 6% black. But this is even worse. I believe the largest estimate of homeless people in Portland is 4,000, or less than 1% of the population. Homeless people made up at least 78% of those given warnings and citations. The report also makes it clear that sitting on the sidewalk is not the problem. You've already heard this from Patrick. I won't bother reading the list of offenses again, but in terms of this discussion that Commissioners Fish and Leonard are engaged in, there are laws, including harassment, assault, and trespassing, that can be used against people who spit or grab people. And if you wish to enforce them as violations or in some kind of alternative court, that's great. But don't do it through a sit-lie ordinance. There are complaints about drinking and using drugs, which also have criminal statutes about them. The report notes that the sit-lie ordinance is not being enforced about sidewalk cafes, but it misses the broader point that those cafes can generate the money to pay for a permit to have those tables out there, while homeless individuals have no permit process, and even if they did, they would likely not be able to afford it. The ordinance should only be renewed if the sit-lie ordinance is removed. In other words, the SAFE Oversight Committee can go on existing to see how laws are enforced against people downtown and against sidewalk cafes. Restrooms and day shelters and benches can continue to be funded, but this abomination of a law needs to be scrapped. It's surprising that the report notes the ACLU pulled out of SAFE over the free speech provisions and recommends that those be amended, but not that Sisters of the Road, an institution in Portland's homeless community for over 25 years, quit the committee after seeing how unfair the law was. What's more, the public forum held on the ordinance happened in August, a month before the bottom fell out on the economy. Right now, if retailers are suffering low patronage, it's not due to people sitting outside on the sidewalk. In fact, it's because they themselves could soon be the ones who need to sit on the sidewalk. But like Jim Francesconi, a former city commissioner, famously stated about Dignity Village, people say that could be you or it could be your family, but that'll never be me because I've got money. Some think that they are not next to be homeless. I've got news for you, Portland Business Alliance and your friends. It could be you. So to repeat, council set a sunset or the ordinance for 2 years. SAFE sent council a report as requested after sit-lie was in effect for 1 year. It is discriminatory. It is unfair. And as the judge said, shortly after the report was created, it criminalizes ordinary behavior. Your time is up, council. Keep the amenities. Let sit-lie die. You can't trade civil liberties for shelters and toilets.
Thank you.
The next three are Sandra McDonough, Barry Joe Stoll, and Joe Rowe.
And after that.
And they'll be followed by Leo Rhodes, Ellison Sr., and Devin DiBernardo.
Good morning. Morning. Welcome to City Council. We have a special guest.
She doesn't know the interruption rule, sorry.
That's all right. Welcome to the City Council. You just need to give us your first and last name.
Great.
Ms. McDonough.
Thank you. Good morning. Mayor and Commissioners, I'm Sandra McDonough. I'm a lifelong Portlander, and I'm president and CEO of the Portland Business Alliance. I'm here today representing the Alliance, Portland Downtown Services, Inc., and the Downtown Retail Council, which represents a number of small family-owned businesses in our central city. The Alliance is very pleased to be here today to lend our support for the Safe Access for Everyone program. SAFE is a model of how diverse communities can come together in this city to create a program that addresses problems that we've never been able to address before. I want to especially recognize the work of the SAFE Committee, which includes businesses as well as advocates for homeless. This group of volunteers spent hundreds, probably thousands of hours working on the program and released their report last December. Without their efforts, the unique synergy of public and private, business and social service simply would not have happened. I also want to thank Commissioner Fish for including the service programs that are such a vital part of this program in his budget for the new housing department. We have always believed that all parts of the SAFE program are important, and we're so happy to see you moving forward with them. Thank you, Commissioner. We look forward to working with Commissioners Fritz and Fish as they take this around the city. We've heard from a number of neighborhoods that they would like to extend the SAFE ordinance to their areas as well. She apparently agrees with me. We think there are a number of neighborhoods. We think that there are a number of neighborhoods beyond Portland, downtown Portland and the Lloyd Center, where we should look at how this program might work for them to address the issues of homelessness in their area. The SAFE program is designed to make it easier for people to remain in our central city public areas peacefully rather than to exclude them. Its elements are aimed to make it easier for Portland's diverse residents and visitors to use our public sidewalks in a safe way. The business community has contributed its time, property, and financial resources to making SAFE a success. This includes helping to fund 3 temporary day access centers at the Julia West House, the Salvation Army Women's Center, and at Transition Projects, which are currently providing 200 spots that didn't exist before. Most importantly, we want to see that all aspects of this are enforced. That includes a permanent day access center. That includes making sure that sidewalk cafes are properly licensed and doing everything, including the sit-lie provision. And we look forward to working with you and all of the advocates to making it happen. I also want to say thank you to Commissioner Leonard for the restroom downtown and the more that you're going to bring. We think that's very important. And we also agree about the service coordination team.
Thank you for your testimony, sir. Welcome to the City Council. Now, this is a chamber of discussion and debate. We try to treat all points of view with respect. Good afternoon. Good morning. Something. Glad you're here.
It's a quarter to the 12. Good morning. My name's Barry Joe Stahl. I gave the council clerk some of my flyers. I could have testified on virtually every issue that was before the council. I'm a social justice activist, which means I've had my turns on the various spokes of the wheel of sustainable energy, access to health care, and now most recently I've been engaged in disability access and those types of issues. I became homeless kind of abruptly in November of 2005 when I came home from work. At the time, I was actually a model citizen as a person with disabilities. I had a job. I was a performer, and I was paying my student loans. I lost all of those things, and it's a product of two things. One is I've got a long history in this city, and I've got a long history with the Circuit Court in Multnomah County. I was charged in 1989 with growing marijuana. The Portland police gave my ex-girlfriend drugs and money as part of a cleanup where they picked her up with a drug dealer in Old Town. They were cleaning up for the Rose Parade. I served a year and a half on a 5-year prison sentence, and I filed a case that went to the Oregon Supreme Court in 1997. That case is Stahl versus Hoke. That's about what it takes to file a case. Well, what happened with me was I became protected under the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act, and I had a run-in with Jason Seri, who you recall shot the unarmed black man. I was protected under the Medical Marijuana Act, and I was denied my defenses under State versus OMB, and that was allowed by the Court of Appeals. So as that was playing out, my landlord, a nonprofit affordable housing provider here, Portland Community Reinvestment Initiatives, brought a 30-day no-cause eviction. It was illegal to file. As the appeal that was pending, as I mentioned, I got locked out of my place. I fought that in the Court of Appeals, and I got my apartment back, except the landlord threw out everything in the apartment. They did it again. Both of those incidents were $20,000 worth of my property taken out in broad daylight with the assistance of law enforcement, with me having no recourse. Well, that's in front of the Oregon Supreme Court. So I perform as a street musician. That's how I take care of myself. I've got a spinal cord injury. It's very difficult to manage. My neurologist, Dr. Grimm, has a Supreme Court case also overturning Multnomah County Circuit Court, and that was Jennings versus Baxter Healthcare. When Dr. Grimm testified on the case brought by Jason Seri, he testified that medical marijuana is my best treatment option for a condition that's second only to cancer pain to manage. Now, we've got to stop playing politics through the courts and through the jails and through ordinances like the anti-camping ordinance and the sit-lie ordinance. They're not fairly imposed at all. They're not fairly adjudicated at all. And I just wanted to give you all an opportunity to see an honest person that's been under the gun. And I would like the $1,000 the city of Portland owes me from that 1989 case.
Thank you for your testimony. Welcome to City Council.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Joe Rowe, and I'll start by saying just a few words. And these are not me speaking. This is Section 26 of the Oregon Constitution. No law shall be passed. No law shall be passed that restrains any inhabitant of the state from peacefully assembling. Not my opinion, not the opinion of anyone in here, not a legal opinion. And I'm going to start off positive, saying thank you very much. I've never had in my 4 years the need to come to speak to you. I should have come when the sit-lie was passed in 2 years ago, but I was a little ignorant and inactive. But I'm here today to speak against it. And Sandra, I appreciate you being here. And I know that there are a lot of fears around homeless people. So Sandra, over the next 30 days of this extension, I would really like to get to know you and why people go to such extreme measures out of their fears. We have the legal statutes. However, Mr. Fish says, just like me, I would not want to be compelled to apply a criminal statute. There's a lot of feelings here, but I'm going to go to three reasons why I think the sit-lie should not be extended for a day, for 2 days, or for 10 years. And that is out of the costs, financially, I think it's a bad decision. If you're a business, I think strategically, we could use the money. The time we're spending right now is to me a waste. Okay? There's the second reason. It's inhumane to extend this. And I don't know how I can reach inside your hearts, commissioners and mayor, but I kind of feel like your vote today is decided. But I hope that I could actually change it in the 1 minute I have left. And the third reason is because it's unconstitutional. No law shall be passed to restrain the inhabitants. This is a restraint. All the 99 concerns of unacceptable behavior that the businesses may have are covered under statutes. If campers are covering a sidewalk, there's a statute for that. 99 other things that might be found illegal, there's statutes, there's enough. And I was arrested 4 years ago under two illegal statutes, and three judges, it took me 3 years and a lot of money to fight it, but three judges wrote that there is no statute authority. You can Google it. It's in my case under Roe, under Joseph. There is no statute authority for police to tell anyone to move along on a sidewalk. I never thought I could win it, but I tried. And we are a country of the rule of law. And if you ignore the law and the Constitution, money-wise, it shouldn't be extended. And for humanity, it should not be extended. That's all I would say.
Thank you for your testimony. Who's that? You have a very cute baby.
Thank you.
Next three are Leo Rhodes, Ellison Sr., Devin DiBernardo.
Good morning.
And they will be followed by Mindy Stone, Clayne Sims, and Olivia Johnson.
Good morning. Welcome to the City Council. We're glad you're here. You just have to give us your first and last name, and again, the clock will help you count your time down. Sir.
Thank you. I'd just like to thank Council for giving me this opportunity to speak to you. I am a homeless person, and I did try to get in a place of Portland Rescue Mission when they have the winter response shelter open.
And
they
sir, do. What? I'm sorry.
Oh, my name is Leo Rhodes.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And so when they had the winter response shelter open, they did a lottery two times. I tried to get in there, and for 2 weeks, I could not get in there. So I found myself outside on the streets trying to find some place to go where I was told I can't sit, can't lie, can't stand here. So I ended up walking around all night. one time I went and I fell asleep on the mats I was awakened by three police officers. I have a tendency to put my arm inside my shirt to keep my warmth in. And so they thought I had a gun. They said, wake up, you know, put your arm through your sleeve. And I'm half dazed, you know, and I'm like, whoa, I thought I was dreaming. And they said, he has a gun. And they started drawing for their guns. And I said, whoa, hey, I'm just sleeping, that's all. So they said, ask me to get off the max. I said, okay. I got off the max. They did a run on me. I have no warrants, anything like that. One of the police officers said, what drugs did you do? And I said, I don't do drugs. I'm going on clean and sober for 9 years. And they said, oh, thank you. They said, no, you've been doing drugs, haven't you? I said, no. One officer told me, he says, well, your eyes are really bloodshot. I said, yeah. And he said, then the next officer asked me, he said, well, when was the last time you slept? I said, 2 days ago. He said, you don't have no camping place, no place to go? I said, no, I've been looking for some place to go. So, you know, it was really an eye-opener to see a police officers right there. Another time, just yesterday, I sell street roots. And one of my vendors actually asked me, or my regular customer asked me, you know, how's it going? I said, well, I got a cold. I just got over a big, real bad cold. And she said, oh, I guess you didn't sell street roots for a while. I said, no, huh? I said, I had to keep on selling. And she said, why? I said, well, because they have this sit-down no-lie rule downtown. I said, I can't just sit anywhere. I can't just lie anywhere. I have to suffer through this whole thing. She says, really? And I said, yeah. I said, that's how I have to suffer all the way through. I know you guys all think about numbers. The $150 million is really great. The 10-year plan is another great thing. Programs also. But you got to remember that also the other number, which is 11% increase on homelessness. You know, and then you're talking about a new thing called invest in human relations. Well, you know, that's one of the things about the government. I see all these signs out here, and I wish the people would hold them on up. See that? Now, when I came on in here, all I knew was you guys voted for me to not just sleep anywhere or stand anywhere. I see this sign right here. These people aren't, most of them aren't homeless. There's a lot of people that are non-homeless. And now, that's encouraging to me to know that there are people out there that do care about me. Yes, you do care about it, but still, you got to remember, homeless people are always kicked around and told, you can't stay here, you have to go, you have to leave. And that's really hard for us to try to get out of homelessness. Not only don't we have enough programs and enough affordable housing and shelter, but told, you can't stay here. You're trying to get out of the rain. You're trying to get out of the cold. You can't be here. You got to go out there. You have to go up the elements. Now, that when you talk about mentally ill.
And I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's encouraging mentally illness right there. So one thing.
Can you wrap up?
Yeah, one thing that I really, really, if you really want to extend this thing, what I encourage you to do tonight and every night this happens, I want you to set your alarm 20 minutes. And when that alarm goes off, I want you to get a bag, fill a bag, a backpack, go around 2-block radius in your house. When you get back into your house, I want you to go to a different room, set your alarm for 20 more minutes. And then you'll know what it's like for us homeless people.
Thank you. You can stay. Thank you for your testimony. Very compelling. Hi.
Devin DiBernardo. Morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I work at Sisters of the Road. We are here this morning to ask that you do not extend the sit-lie ordinance. We bring with us petitions signed by over 200 people urging you to allow this ordinance to sunset, with more of these petitions being signed. Sit-lie is unfairly enforced against people who are homeless. Sit-lie violates Portlanders' civil rights. Similar laws exist across the country where people experiencing homelessness and poverty are pushed out of public places. Portland has the opportunity right now to be a national leader and stand up for the rights of all in our community. Portland should not trade civil rights for direct services. Sisters of the Road supports services and affordable housing for all. even though a resource access center, public restrooms, and benches are services that are necessary in our community, we cannot be a city that trades rights for services. Please continue to fund these services, but do not tie them to a law that violates our rights. CITLI doesn't solve the issues facing homeless youth, adults, and families. CITLI doesn't solve the loss of affordable housing that has occurred over the last 30 years and has never been restored. CITLI just moves individuals experiencing homelessness and poverty from public sidewalks. Please be a city that stands up for the rights of all in our community and get rid of CITLI. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Carla?
Was there a Carlitos Vilman, maybe? Okay. Mindy Stone, Clayne Sims, and Olivia Johnson. And they'll be followed by David Regan, Zekin Barker, and Sheila Steele.
And how many more on the list?
About eight more.
Okay. Good morning. Welcome to the City Council. We're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Please begin.
Thanks. My name is Mindy Stone, and I'm new to Portland. I moved here in November from Florida, where we are facing the most devastating homelessness crisis and economic crisis that I've ever seen in my 41 years alive. I came out here because after 2 years of owning a retail store and seeing that the economy was going to tank, I felt like I needed to get out of my retail business and move somewhere where I could survive the impending economic situation. So I chose Portland because I'd been out here in 2003 and saw how compassionate people in Portland and in Oregon are. And I wanted to be a part of a community that is creating solutions to our problems and not waiting for government to do the job that we can do together. So I am alarmed when I learned about the CITLI law. I just found it very contrary to why I chose to live here, and it was very upsetting to learn that this existed. Being on the verge of homelessness myself, because I came out here hoping to find a job and not having one and going through my meager savings, I have been homeless. I've lived in my van after going through my resources and losing my housing, and then to find a job, and I'm living in my van, and then finding an apartment I could afford, and then losing my job. So I can't seem to get the combination correct. I wish that the commissioners would vote today no on extending the CITLI law. I think that it's very disconcerting that this law would be implemented when the services are not available for people to protect themselves with the day shelters and the adequate housing shelters that are needed. I think it's punishing people without coming through on your end of the bargain to not have facilities for people and then to find them when they don't have money to begin with. So you're going to find them or throw them in jail? I don't know how that is financially good for the community. I don't want, as a taxpayer, hopefully, or anyone who is employed, why should you have to pay for jails? Why should you have to pay for the crime that our economy is in the tank because of very bad, greedy decisions in the business community? And as a former retailer, I just find it really hard to believe that the homeless people are that vicious to customers. When I owned my shop in Florida, I never had anyone complain on my historic street where my shop was that they had a problem with a homeless or street person. Never once anyone complained. And we have homelessness and poverty, too. So I would really like for you to reconsider waiting. I don't know what you're waiting for. The statistics are out showing that it's not helping, and by the city not fulfilling their agreement with the day shelter, I think it's wrong.
Thank you for your testimony. Really appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Claire Simons. I've been a resident of Portland for 9 years. And when I speak to my friends on other coasts, I always describe Portland as being a civil city. And I would ask that you continue my good word of mouth and revoke the sit-lie law. It seems to me that the Portland Business Alliance has this cattywampus. That is with a C or a K, depending on how you'd like to spell it. Requiring the most vulnerable among us to clean your sidewalks is not a viable solution. I would suggest and urge the Portland Business Alliance to volunteer and serve a meal at Sisters of the Road or Blanchet House of Hospitality or any of the wonderful organizations that feed this city's homeless, vulnerable, hungry. No questions asked, no documentation required. You need a meal, you get it. What if you allowed the people in front of your business to use your bathroom? During off hours, of course. What if you offered them some food from your kitchens at the end of your daily business day? Would that decriminalize, demystify those folks? Commissioner Fritz, thank you for your scholarship on this issue. I would go back to the Common Ground study that shows the most vulnerable among us, when given support and community services, actually saves the city money. They are an impressive organization. It worked in New York City. It worked in Los Angeles and San Francisco. It can work here too. Of course, I enjoy all of the businesses and restaurants that Portland provides. I bring my friends and out-of-town visitors to dine and shop at those places. No business wants James Chassie, a schizophrenic man, killed in front of their sidewalk. This is about not in my neighborhood. If not in your neighborhood, then where? Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Good morning.
My name is Olivia Johnson. I'm wondering if I can use your last 40 minutes to have everybody in the room stand up and just like shake it out and get reinvested in this conversation. It's important stuff, so.
Sure.
Oh, stretch! Yeah. Now look how good it's going to feel to sit down. All right. So first of all, I'd like to consider the basic name of the ordinance, which is actually the Sidewalk Obstruction Ordinance, not the sit-lie, which when I think of an obstruction, I visualize a large object in my way, per se a sandwich board, not a human being. This ordinance is being used to cite human beings. As we've heard, 78% of who are homeless, which I believe to be a low estimate, actually. So in this, we're inferring that human beings are obstructions, and obstructions to be moved, which is a huge human and civil rights issue to be considered. Commissioner Fritz and Commissioner Fish, you've both expressed concerns around this ordinance and its possible violation of these rights. I support you in your desire to gain more community awareness and engagement. Yet I feel like to gain these voices from folks most directly affected while simultaneously criminalizing them through the temporary extension is a harsh contradiction. The sidewalk obstruction ordinance is a violation of human and civil rights. It is not creating a safer community. Instead, I hear story after story of frustration and anger from people being treated as less than human, never being able to rest, in turn increasing levels of stress and embitterment towards the city and those enforcing their laws. Please, do not extend the sit-lie ordinance, the sidewalk obstruction ordinance. If you are in serious debate, unready to decide on this ordinance, then please consider putting a temporary hold on this ordinance, as this would open community involvement. If you do pass this extension, community engagement must start immediately. I would request that you collect unfiltered input, real voices from the people most affected, not those living out in who come into the city, you know, once a month or something, or downtown. And listen, really listen, and then act. Please do not make this another disempowering community forum as I have attended in the past. For example, in North and Northeast right now, community forums around racial profiling are going nowhere because Operation Cool Down is still in effect. Mm-hmm. Trying to do both of those things at the same time does not work. Please, I ask you, as others have, to use your heart. Vote no on the extension of the sidewalk obstruction ordinance.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you all. Go ahead, Carla.
The next three are David Regan, Zekin Barker, and Sheila Steele. Zekin Barker or Sheila Steele. Okay, how about Lauren Bovic and Linda Wenning? Thank you. They'll be followed by Wes Carville, Shaggy Simpson, and Terry Prattner.
So, good afternoon. Thanks for waiting, and welcome to the City Council. Go ahead, sir.
Well, my name is David Regan. I've lived in Portland since 2002, and the only thing keeping me from becoming homeless is a love of a couple of friends of mine who let me stay with them regularly while I try to collect myself in the midst of this economic downturn. Well, my heart goes out to everybody here who's asking you to vote no, because I have a feeling, as many do, that it's in the wind you're going to vote for this extension. I ask, too, that you vote no for all the reasons stated, and I want to add something. I have a request. I've put in for a little time with you all again on May 17th, and I'm hoping others will come and talk about the anti-camping ordinance. They're linked in that if you vote to extend this, it begs the question, where do we have, if we don't have a home or a lease or lands or adequate social support, where do we have a right to go? And so far, the silence of this chamber on that issue is deafening, because it's a pink elephant in the room. You've got people sleeping in their cars for blocks and blocks around the dining halls and the places of service. Where do we have a right to go is a question that's been answered in places like California with something called a homeless gardening project. It's been answered in Seattle by allowing tent cities. There's a number of things you could do right away to alleviate real suffering. This is not, please get up at as the gentleman asked you, and move every 20 minutes all night. This is not helpful for people to be able to get back on their feet and find jobs. So I ask you to consider, where are we allowed to go? And please consider a copy of a petition that I've passed out to each of you, and a little bit of information about something similar to the Homeless Gardening Project in Santa Fe, California. Or not Santa Fe, Santa Cruz. And the idea is that it's not enough to just give someone who's experiencing homelessness some food. It's not enough even to give them the day center, if we can get all those hurdles passed. And I appreciate Mr. Fish's wanting to decriminalize and an emphasis on services to help people with chronic depression and conditions and mental illness and everything. This is largely at the heart of it. But there's a lot of people just like me. I'm not yet mentally ill, but give me a few more months on my friend's couch, and I probably will be. And there are many people in my boat, and we ask that you consider that many of them are women and children, and they've been moved on. There's women, you saw the article in the Tribune about a woman who was forced to seek protection from other homeless people, and this sometimes means even having to prostitute themselves. I feel sometimes I'm prostituting myself through my codependent relationship with my friend whose couch I'm on. And I beg you, this is a real issue, and consider the question, where do we have a right to go? And please consider establishing some hassle-free camping zones, as many cities have.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lauren Bovic. I currently have a place to live, but I haven't always. I just wanted to share a story. Not this past winter, but the winter before, I used to work at FedEx Kinko's office, which I'm sure all of you are pretty familiar with. And we're having one of our 800 annual, monthly, whatever, corporate audits. And there was someone sleeping outside on the bench, and you know, typically, of course, the auditors there, our bosses, like, oh, God, this is not looking good, blah, blah. So someone eventually asked him to get up and move, but couldn't because he was dead. Your apathy and, like, your red tape and things like that and your extensions are costing people their lives. That's all I wanted to say.
My name is Linda Wenning. I'd like a show of hands of the people that are here for this issue that are citizens of the United States. The city of Portland has been able to spend money for a day work center for people that are not citizens. We can at least
So again, this is
the
a chamber
city of Portland.
No, I'm not. If I could get you, this is a chamber for debating and discussion, and the fact that she might see things differently than others, we need to respect that. Go ahead.
Okay. It's my understanding that there's a day work center that the city funded so that people that are not citizens would have a safe place to seek work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's do at least as much for our citizens, please. And if we haven't solved all the issues of providing day centers or whatever, we need to leave this law aside until we do have those items. Let's not make these people suffer because we don't have our act together. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Carla?
Next three are Wes Carville, Shaggy Simpson, and Terry Prattner.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the City Council. We're glad you're here.
How about Al Bradbury?
Mr. Bradbury?
Here comes someone, sorry.
Ms. Bradbury. Okay.
And they'll be followed by Chris Knutson, the last person who signed up.
Wes.
Hi, I'm Wes. Anyways, I am the biggest procrastinator, I believe, on this earth. I think we're done. We're done procrastinating. We need to take care of this now. There's been a time where I was sitting there, a friend of mine kneeling on the ground, writing out on a piece of cardboard with Sharpie. A cop on a pony comes up. He's obstructing people from crossing. He gives my friend a no-sit lie ticket with an obstruction of traffic. $500 ticket. How is he supposed to come up with this? I'm an artist. I create things. I don't ask people for money. If they give me money, that's different. I can't sell my stuff legally on the streets without a $150 license, vending license. But to get the vending license, I need a $1 million insurance policy for a year, which costs $800 a year. That's $950. That I have to come up with to legally sell a crocheted hat that I'm asking maybe $20 for. I think it's kind of baloney. You know, when police officers obstruct traffic, my friend gets the ticket for kneeling on the ground. That's pretty much all I wanted to say, but I think we're done waiting. The city of Portland has spoken. We're done. I think you should vote no.
Thank you for your testimony.
I'm Terry Prather, and I've heard a lot of good stuff here today. I want to talk a little bit about the day access centers. There are two of them that I know of that are open during the week. One is closed on Saturday. One is closed on Sunday. They have limited hours. Sisters, years ago when I was more involved, came up with the idea of a day access center. And we did a lot of discussion around that, of what was needed, like a nurse, a phone, washer and dryer, someplace for people to leave their belongings if they want to go look for a job. And all of a sudden now, I hear, well, we need a soccer team now. tried it with baseball. Where are the city's priorities? Where are they, really? Somebody said there's probably 4,000 people homeless right now. Why? I see these buildings going up. I read an article in the paper years ago, new buildings go up. There's supposed to be a percentage of that with affordable, low income, and I mean 0 to 30% housing in those projects. What's happened to it? The access centers are on one side to the other. Well, they're not adequate enough for the people. There's not enough room for people to go in. I've stood in day watch outside getting there in line to wait for an open seat. That's how busy they get. St. Francis isn't too bad. Well, it's not a bad, you don't have to wait in line. I've never seen anybody had to wait in line to get into St. Francis. They provide an evening meal there. You can go in and sit all day and not have to be forced to go outside. You know, this talk of the access center, I read the articles and stuff in the paper. Nothing's happened. Why? This needs to go. It really does. You don't need more discussions. You have your data. You know, let it go.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you. Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Al Bradbury. I'll be succinct. There are two points I want to make. One is it's an interesting juxtaposition this morning. Just before this on the agenda, we had arts funding. And I think we all support both full funding for the arts and for public services. I just wanted to note, though, that artists are not only a special creative class, that you've heard from a number of people this morning who are artists. I was just talking to someone in the audience who is homeless and who has a 4-year degree from a college in painting. There are many performing artists and many crafting artists on the street, and that making sure that we have a city that supports artists is not just a matter of funding agencies and funding people who are able to make a professional living as artists, but it's a matter of making sure that everyone has the safety and security in their lives to be able to engage in creative work. The other thing I just wanted to note, and I think other people have made this point, but to be very clear, there isn't a reason that in order to have a longer dialogue on this issue, you have to extend the ordinance. You can vote no to extend the ordinance today, right now, and still go through with your process of having a longer conversation over the next few months if you feel that's useful. Yeah. Commissioner Fritz, I heard you list a lot of very compelling reasons that you have heard why people want an urgent end to this ordinance. And I haven't heard anything of comparable urgency from the business community about why the ordinance must immediately be extended. Commissioner Fish, you talked about wanting some breathing room to make the decision, but I think that a lot of people in this room want some breathing room for their daily needs while you make this decision. So I just want to be clear that when you're proposing to extend the ordinance for 4 more months while you discuss, you're asking people to endure 4 more months of harassment and difficulty and discomfort and pain while you discuss, and just urge you to please not do that. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
The last two who signed up are Chris Knutson and Shaggy Simpson.
Mr. Simpson, Mr. Knutson. Good afternoon. Welcome to the City Council. Thanks for your patience. Glad you're here.
I'll go for a sec. You can go if you want. My name is Chris Knutson. I've been working as a homeless youth advocate for the past 3 years in Portland. I came here today to sit in the back and listen to my friends and comrades speak, and I haven't been able to stop myself from shaking since the opening comments that you were pretty much already coming here with your mind made up that you were going to extend this, which seems outrageous to say that we want more time for discussion. People have already spoken since there were 200 people sleeping on the steps of this building. People have spoken since the hundreds of cards that Sisters of the Road advocates brought here, signed in the petitions that have been brought times and time again. It feels like this is passing the buck to allow this ordinance to continue so that we can keep the streets looking nice for the Rose Festival, so we can continue to bring tourists in and push this problem off until the winter. It's been deemed unconstitutional, and it just seems outrageous that a legal body could push something that has been deemed unconstitutional and just pass the buck like that. Seems, it just blows my mind that that's even an option today for you all. Please, you've heard people speak today. You've heard all of the moral arguments. You've seen the statistics. Everything has come against this ordinance to continue. Please listen to what people have been saying for months now, and please vote this down today.
Thank you. Hello.
Hi, how you doing? My name is Shaggy Simpson. I am one of your examples. I am an Operation Iraqi Freedom veteran, and I stood 18 months in Baghdad. And I come back and find all the freedoms I had before I left, all the freedoms I was fighting for while I was over there. Well, not all of them, but the few that affect me were gone. And that did not please me very much at all. I've been studying law and stuff since I was a little kid in school. They teach all that stuff now. They teach every single law known to the United States of America, every single constitutional amendment. And I have basically learned all of them. And I know when someone is trying to tell me to do something that's against what I've been taught. And the current sit-lie laws, I believe, are way against my freedom. So against my freedom that it angers me. I keep my anger under wraps, but just the other day, I was sleeping on a sidewalk in front of a pole. This sidewalk was 20 feet across. I was in front of a pole that was also obstructing the sidewalk. And I'm the one that got a ticket, a citation for sleeping, just for sleeping. I got nowhere else to go. It was underneath a bridge. It was raining. And then the cops come by, and I told them, look, I'm not in front of the sidewalk. I'm in front of this pole. I'm not even in anyone's way whatsoever. And I still have all these trumped-up charges against me. I had a clean-and-safe officer, one of your clean-and-safe officers, rip me up out of my blankets. And when I started talking crap to them, they started threatening me with physical violence. And I told them to take me to jail. That's how angered I was. For if they did not restrain me, I was not going to be able to restrain myself. And these are some of the points that I have to bring up. I've been on these streets off and on for 2.5 years. When I first got here, I absolutely loved this city. I loved this city so much, I said, you know, I'm staying here. And in the 2.5 years that I've been here, it has changed so much. All my friends that I had when I originally got here are nowhere to be seen. They've made laws against street people. I don't want to say homeless people. I want to say street people, because they take away the smoking from Pioneer Square. They kick us out from sidewalks, even though we're out of the way. We're not obstructing anything. We don't have anything in the way. We tell our own people. We police ourselves. We tell our people, hey, dude, there's people coming. Get out of the way. You know, if they're standing up talking or whatever while we're sitting down. And they get out of the way, and the people pass by nicely. I have never seen this spitting or grabbing of people. Never once. I see the higher class messing with the lower class. Or but I don't see the lower class doing anything towards the higher class out of fear.
So you can't. I need to have you wrap up. Any final thoughts you want to share with us?
You guys all understand what I'm trying to say. This law is garbage. That's it. It needs to be thrown away.
Thanks for your testimony and thanks for your service. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
So do you want to ask people to come up?
Dave Warborough come up?
Yeah.
Mr. Warborough?
Mayor.
So I just have one question that I want clarification on right now while everybody's here, and that is, has this law been found unconstitutional, and has the judge says that it criminalizes ordinary behavior?
We've had two decisions on the current version of the code having to do with sidewalk obstruction. The context of them is important in evaluating what future courts may do and the impact on the city's practices. In the first decision, the city was informed about the upcoming case. The issues were briefed. Evidence was adduced. And there was a verbal decision saying that the judge found that the sidewalk obstruction code was not unconstitutional and rejected the challenge.
And what court was that in?
It was a pro tem judge and violation court.
In Multnomah County?
In Multnomah County, yes.
Thank you.
That matters in the sense that there's no appellate decision on the current version of the sidewalk obstruction code. An appellate version would bind all of the circuit courts. In our system, in our judicial system, the various departments, the various judges in each of the circuit courts are independent and can disagree. They cannot bind each other, is what it amounts to. So we have one department that found that after hearing the evidence and the arguments in the briefing, found that it was not unconstitutional. In a second case, the issue of constitutionality was raised day of trial. There was no evidence adduced. There was argument, of course, at the time, and again, a verbal decision. We don't have a written opinion from either of these judges. The verbal decision was on a very narrow aspect of the regulation, having to do with the leaving objects unattended at a distance. That's one of the things that the code addresses. And the judge found that it was unconstitutional in that regard and that it prohibited leaving objects at a distance, because a person of ordinary intelligence wouldn't understand that that could be prohibited. A very respected judge. We take his decision very seriously. It does not bind the rest of the circuit court. It's on a very narrow aspect of the regulatory scheme.
And when was that decision?
It's been a few months ago or further. I think that was in the fall.
And has the city done anything in response to that decision?
The city wasn't involved in the litigation at all. We're not a party to that kind of litigation, typically. Sometimes, when there are issues involving city policy, the city's informed and we bring evidence to court. We help organize a presentation if the DA asks for that. That wasn't the case in this second case where the judge found it unconstitutional. We have no right to appeal that decision, and the district attorney's office did not appeal that decision.
Thank you.
But if I could follow up on that, that provision remains in the ordinance that's being voted on?
It does, yes.
So if a judge in Multnomah County found it unconstitutional, why wouldn't we have struck that from our ordinance?
We are concerned that the issue wasn't fully explored with this judge, and we the city had didn't put on or help put on any evidence about your reasons in passing the code in the first place. Didn't put into evidence the findings and the support that the council saw in the facts it faced for passing the code. Fundamental things like that that usually are part of a complete briefing on an issue like this. We think that there's a good chance that there might be a different result. We respect very much the judge who made the decision. The process didn't really fully flesh out the issues. We expect better success in the future on that very narrow issue, if it comes up again. It does, however, cause us concern, of course. And in the past, the city has, in fact, stopped enforcement as on various code provisions or parts of code provisions if it's compelled by the logic of the presentation in court and the thinking of the judge to reconsider its position. We don't feel at this point we're there. We don't feel at this point we're there.
Thank you.
Any other discussion from council?
Well, before we disband, I'd like to make a couple points.
We're going to vote, aren't we?
Well, no, it's
an ordinance.
Oh, sorry.
First reading.
I think we should all make comments.
Yeah, let's start with comments. Commissioner Leonard?
I have to say I am struggling to understand the reasoning of the two folks, the two colleagues of mine here at council who brought this forward that goes